So thank you and welcome, everybody. We're very glad to have you here. I thought rather than do a deep theoretical introduction at 9:30 in the morning, I would allow our panelists to present. Each of them will have their own theoretical perspective. What I wanted to do was to define what we mean by the new agitprop, which, of course, we have all been seeing on all media for the last month from Egypt. But clearly, the original agitprop was supporting the Bolshevik Revolution starting in 1918. And at that time, the agitprop was sponsored by the government to support a new society. And it included, as most of you are probably familiar, the idea of giant agitational propaganda, of course, is what it stands for, that appeared all over the new Soviet Union in boats, on billboards. And, of course, it extended to all media. Tatlin's Tower being the most iconic example of architecture, and unfortunately I can't go into the whole story of Tatlin's Tower, but it does represent the new utopian society. It extended to stage design, acting, and clothing design, fabric design, new workers' clothes, as you see on the right, graphic design, and all media, massively influential. In fact, the foundations of the new agitprop in Russia, of course, formed the basis for the Bauhaus and still is part of our teaching of art today. Film, this is the film October by Eisenstein. Painting, of course, Malevich. Furniture and workers' furniture, specifically class-conscious, mass-produced, accessible, well-designed furniture, again, an idea that was sent to the Bauhaus, and photography, obviously giving you just one example in all of these media, but there were many, many extraordinary artists. The new agitprop. So I have to, of course, include and begin with a reference to the thrilling events in Egypt. And in the lower right, you see someone actually holding up their phone making a photograph, and that is certainly the new agitprop. The new agitprop includes many different media, as did the old agitprop, but there's a massive difference. It is not supported by the government. It is frequently opposing the government. And this is the March of the Dead, which took place several times in Washington, this particular one on the fifth anniversary of the outbreak of the Iraq War, marched through Washington, and each person carried the name of someone who had died in Iraq. They also hung banners in the office in the office buildings of Congress. And then, of course, the Yes Men today, using new media to suggest the corporate undermining of the idea of climate change. I know there's a lot of text there, but the basic concept is the joke of the Yes Men, pranksters, who intervene on the internet and in the media all the time to undermine corporate positions. And then Trevor Paglen is an example of using the internet to research information which is not available to the public, very high-tech, very technical information. Some of you may have seen his exhibitions listing secret rendition flight numbers and logos. And then, of course, the Critical Art Ensemble also represents the new agitprop in terms of the kind of research they did and they do, and also the technical use of the internet for that research. But we also have artists today using media that are traditional and revitalizing them. And, of course, giant puppets is one of the great examples of media that has been around for a long time and is still very current. Drawing, this is the work of Selma Waldman, who did almost 200 drawings about the torture at Abu Ghraib right before she died. And Daniel Heyman, who uses drawing as well as printmaking to record the words of people released from Abu Ghraib. And painting, of course, as a traditional media, in this case, a burnt and torn canvas. This is book art, which of all things is a very traditional media, redefined in terms of representing war. Murals, and we will be hearing about murals in our panel today. This is a Break the Silence mural project, which is a in this case, a mural on the wall between Palestine and Israel. And video, of course, is a major media. Larissa Sansour, brilliant young Palestinian artist. This is a film that starts out with the 2001 theme, and she lands on the moon as a Palestinian astronaut. Installation art, still very popular, still used, and we will hear about an installation artist today. Claudia Bernardi, addressing the disappeared in Argentina, and of course Alfredo Jarre, somebody with whom I'm sure all of you are familiar, using light and dark, and also in this case mirrors, to talk about various historical events, making them visible. Andrew Johnson, using installation art, mixed media installation, to comment on the caterpillar tractors and the bulldozing of homes. Mona Hatoum, another type of mixed media installation. Some of you may have seen this at Documenta. It involved a very, very loud noise and flashing lights, which were terrifying to suggest the invasion of a house. Holly Tenger, a Turkish artist, using installation in an entirely different way, in a laboratory format, talking about the disconnect between public media and private experiences for refugees. And then finally, I wanted to just mention that voices today can be combined in very unexpected ways. And this is Maya Lin at the dedication of one of her sites of the Confluence Project, intersecting with Native American drummers. So the relationship between them suggesting a new kind of exposing of a history that has been buried. So all of these artists are addressing themes that I talk about in my book. I'll mention the name of the book in just a minute. But I want to say that today we are very fortunate that there are books coming out that are discussing this kind of media. It hasn't been widely critically discussed. But Gregory Chalette, who I believe has two panels devoted to the subject of dark matter, has just published a book. And he explores what he calls the non-commercial sector of the art world that through new technologies is able to subvert the mainstream. Very important theme. And then another book that has just come out by W.J.T. Mitchell, whom I quote in my own book, Cloning Terror, is really looking at the other side of the argument, which is the more traditional idea of the government's agitprop and the ways in which it's been used to use image making to amplify the political effects of the war on terror. And then my own book, which has just come out, Art and Politics Now, Cultural Activism in a Time of Crisis, and I talk about all of the artists that I just mentioned, as well as about 100 other artists in my book, and 30 exhibitions, 20 curators, and it's global in scope. So I'm very happy that now we have this new discourse.